This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. As always, John Kelly here with Jeremiah Stringer right over there. Jeremiah, tonight's going to be a great night.
Oh, dude. I could not be more excited. I've been looking forward to this.
This is going to be a good night.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait, man.
I mean, that's all I can say. Like, there's not a whole lot of introduction we need to do tonight. I do want to notice, man, everybody is already in the comments.
I've been reading the comments, man.
Man. Oh, here's a great one. Let's see if we can get this on here. Hoglin Outdoors. Dang, this is the first live stream I've caught in months. Night shift has been kicking my butt. Well, you've only missed one because this is the second one we've done in months. So you're doing pretty good for yourself, actually. You're not doing bad. So, Jeremiah, we got some great, great stuff going on. Next week, we'll go ahead and do some advertising for what's coming up. We got our good friend Ben McMillan, who's going to be on the show, and we're excited to talk a little Hilltop Packs and Apex Gear Company with him.
And what?
That was the longest pause ever. That was fantastic.
Oh, sorry. I thought that you had more to say about Ben McMillan.
I was giving you room, man. I was trying to be like generous and let you talk a little. So, you know, occasionally I do that.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk half the time. You talk half the time.
Well, we got Ben coming up on next week. The week after that, Jeremiah's on fall break, and my kids are on fall break, and so we're only going to be doing the audio podcast that week. So be looking for that Wednesday. And then the week after that, who do we have on, Jeremiah?
The week after that, we are having
October 9th.
I think this is just confirmed, if I'm not mistaken.
It's just confirmed like minutes ago.
We are having that hiking guy, Chris, and Jeremy, All Things Outdoors, which I saw them both in the chat just a minute ago, I believe. We're going to be having them on, and they have been on some wild adventures that we can't wait to share with everybody. All across the U.S., man.
Well, and not just hiking, but like life adventure stuff. So it's going to be pretty cool to have them on here. Real quick, here's a great comment. Zach Miller. He says, I want to know why Jeremiah and JK never backpack together. We actually don't like each other.
Hate each other's guts. Now, we should be getting out pretty soon. What is it? October? First week in October? Maybe we'll get to see each other.
We'll see each other there for sure. So, and that's something we're going to talk about with Jason in a second, because we're going to go ahead and blow the lid off of that thing. And just see if we can really mess things up good for Jeremiah.
I'm a little bit scared. Yeah, let's bring him in here. Let's talk to him about it.
Yeah, let's do that, man. Let's get him on here, and let's talk to the man, the myth, the legend, the guy who is the reason we talk about poop on this podcast, Mr. Jason, Backpacking with Jason Waugh. How's it going, Mr. Backpacking with Jason, sir?
Pretty good, my friends. Pretty good. And I'll take that compliment that I'm the reason we talk about poop on here. I have a good poop subject, but we'll hold off on that right now.
Well, all the people who bet every week on when we're actually going to talk about it, it's already happened. So now the betting's over. So go ahead and start collecting your money.
I would say one thing on the little introductions you was talking about earlier, Jeremiah. The drop of the ball at the Hilltop Packs. You just like, and it was a long pause on there. I got to tease you a little bit about that one. And you've backpacked with Hilltop Packs numerous times. All the products he has, the food bags, the designs, the ground sheet that I have that everybody's signing nowadays.
That's what I was going to say.
It's got everything, man. Well, what's up with that?
I didn't want to spoil it, but I did want to mention about Hilltop Packs and it was somebody's idea. I think Metro on the Move, maybe. And we talked about this before, but they have these kind of like doormats or ground sheets that you can use for your tents. And Jason ordered one that was just a solid white color. And Jason, why don't you tell everybody what your idea is and kind of what we started over the weekend?
Well, I got one. And when I go backpacking, I wanted people to sign it. and date it or put a quote or say anything about me or about whatever their channel, or just, you know, I mean, I put everybody's signature on there, not just YouTube people, but anybody I go backpacking with, getting them to sign it and put their little initials on there. And I was like, man, this will be something I'll have for memories for a long time. And I thought, you know, more people might want to do this. So I'm kind of putting it out on the video and so forth. But, you know, if you go backpacking a lot, you're going to meet a lot of people and different people. And I have, and I wish I had thought of this years ago, because some of the people that I've met, I don't know if I'll ever meet again. And it would be really cool, especially when I was doing section hiking to AT. You know, I've done Georgia to Virginia. There was a lot of people I met there, and I sure would have liked to have a lot of signatures and the memories you'd have. So it's something I'm going to do on there. Thank you, Hilltop Packs.
Yeah, I ordered one a while back, and I guess it got lost somewhere, because this past week they finally like, I finally got an email from Ben going, hey, will you double check all this and make sure it's okay? So I've got one coming soon, and mine's different. Mine is an actual like old school welcome mat. It literally looks like a welcome mat, and then nice. Underneath the welcome, where it says welcome, it says stay off my yard. So yeah. So that should be here soon. I've talked about it for a while. I think they just got a lot of orders for things, and honestly, they could take their time with my stuff. You know, that's no big deal. But it should be here soon. Should be here soon.
So good. Great.
Oh, they're great. Great. Jeremiah, you've been getting some props online here. Jeremiah looks like he's on that Chris Hemsworth diet and workout plan. Brother, keep it up. He going to be looking like Thor in no time. Look at that.
I did go to the gym today.
Hair and backpack.
Oh, thanks. Yep. I got a haircut scheduled for tomorrow.
Yep. And then John Jeffries notices that I'm sporting the pride hard for the Browns. The Browns are playing in 7 minutes. But because I love our backpacking party family that we have here at the Backpacking Podcast, I'm doing the podcast and then I'll go catch up on the game. Now, I will say, if anybody posts scores at any point during this podcast, you're getting booted out of the chat room.
So it's going to be like, shouldn't have said it.
Do not do it. That's not fair. It's not cool. That's called a party foul, tonight? People. Party foul. Jeremiah, we were called, we almost be the two Mythbuster guys, professional relationship only. Now, if you would have gotten on our Instagram, you would see that we've done dinner together and our relationship's a little bit more than professional. And then this one goes out to Jason, and I love it. It's fantastic. You got one bag, wag it.
We're talking about this tonight. And just waiting on when you guys want to bring it up. That's all I'm waiting on.
Well, we're here. Let's talk about it, man.
Oh, are we leading off with poop?
I can tell you right now, I have one thing that I've had two incidences recently to where once I seen dog poop on the trail, and another one where I seen a wag bag with, I'm hoping, dog poop was on the trail. My buddy Matt picked it up and took it out. That's two different spots that I've seen dogs. I love dogs. I've got dogs. I love Jeremiah's dogs. Dogs are awesome. But if you bring your dogs to the woods, scoot that poop off the trail or go dig a hole for your dog. It's no different than human poop. It's a big pile of poop on the trail. Get it off there. Now, the wag bag, I don't like wag bags because people's going to do just what me and Jeremiah seen, a wag bag with dog poop on it. People's going to poop in their wag bag and put it right on the trail.
I think.
So you're saying you don't like them?
I don't think you need them.
Okay, let's argue. Let's argue this out for a minute, Jason. Since we have you here, because we have had some people in the comments at times, and we've had, I think we talked to Devin about this, who lives out in Utah, and they gave us very specific research-driven information on why wag bags were necessary in some locations, and they seem to think that if you're responsible enough to buy wag bags, then you're probably going to be responsible enough to pack it out. Because otherwise, why would you have it?
Hogwash.
You think the science? You think the science is just false?
People will drop it. They'll drop it right on the freaking trail. They will drop it right on there and be like, "Oops, who's going to carry poop on their backpack? Who's going to do that?" Only the most dedicated backpackers of the environment is going to do that. People's been pooping outside since the beginning of time. You think anybody ever said, "Oh my goodness, I can't poop here"? People have been pooping outside forever.
Yeah,
when the toilet get made? When did indoor plumbing get made?
Thousands of years ago.
That was in the Roman times. They had bathrooms in Roman times, didn't they?
Yeah, that was like
a house on the prairie that a guy at the store got his first bathroom, and that's a little house on the prairie. So that had to be steel, horse and cart times, 1800s. But plumbing ain't been around that long.
Yes, it has. It's been around for thousands of years.
No, it hasn't.
Yes, it has. Why doesn't he believe
me? There are houses to this day in Eastern Kentucky. There's steel places where we dig holes. Put an outhouse, and when that hole gets full, you move it over.
But Jason, here's my rebuttal to that.
Yes,
there are still people that think Mountain House is good food.
Oh, talk about poop!
I mean, come on, you can't.
Oh, it's just being shot at me.
I'm just saying. If there are people that still think that Mountain House is good food, of course there's going to be people that don't get indoor plumbing. That just makes sense.
Okay, can we take
people with no indoor plumbing eat Mountain House?
Can we take a little poll in the comments? And I'll put a poll. Please, I need to write this down.
Please.
I'll put a poll on this episode on Spotify. People can answer about wag bags. I want to take a little poll in the comments. Let me know if you've ever used a wag bag. And then where were you? Were you at some national park? Were you out west somewhere? Were you in the desert? What was the deal? And we'll revisit it.
Even if you like doo-doo and you're in the desert, you know, you can still burn your teepee, you know, burn your toilet paper so you're not having that fly over the place and everything. But the poo will still stay in the ground, you know. I mean, even whatever, you know, who cares? I mean, animals will get it by the time you worry about something like that on there. But people have been pooping outside for centuries. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be okay, everybody. Let's not get into an emergency situation over poo outside and start putting bags that you're going to poop in and tie it to your backpack and carry it.
Ugh. He's passionate.
No, not a chance.
I love the passion. John, you watching the comments? Do you?
I'm getting ready to go through a whole list of answers right now. People are giving. This is fantastic.
And people are going to have poo on their backpack, and they're going to be like, I'm not carrying this poo. You know, they're going to be like, just drop it. And then they're just going to drop it right on the trail, and then somebody's going to come by and have to pick it up. And then you got poo on the trail again. And plastic. Now you got both.
No, I think it's like a double – I'm pretty sure it's a double bag system, and inside of one bag, there's like absorbers that help solidify the poop. And then it's why are you laughing, John?
I'm not reading comments. Just keep talking. I'm not laughing at you. This is the greatest. Jason, you being on here is just pure gold. I just have to tell you, it's pure gold.
To absorb poo. Now, that would be like inventions of all inventions.
No, it doesn't absorb it. It doesn't. You're putting words in my mouth. Now, hold on, Mr. Backpacking with Jason, sir. Backpacking with Dad. Hold on.
Can I just say something real quick? Can I just say something real quick? If you've ever gone backpacking with these two guys, this is normal.
This is what it's like.
This goes on at the campfire for like 2 hours, and it's fantastic. And I usually – this is one of those times where – I really miss backpacking with these guys because I need some popcorn sitting at the campfire and just Michael Jackson while they're doing their thing. So
yeah,
you guys just keep talking.
We was with so many different people this weekend. They all had kind of a show. Go ahead, Jeremiah. Your rebuttal to the backpack.
Yes. It's like what was said in the comments, girl plus dog adventures, absorbers equal kitty litter. So it's basically just like help chunk it up, you know. It's not like something that absorbs the poop and turns it into something else.
I just got a hard turd carrying my backpack, okay?
That's right.
Hard or soft, poo.
It depends.
Do you want to hear some of these comments?
Yeah, read us some of
these. I do, yes.
I've got 17 of these things right now.
Okay, I don't know if we got time to read them all, but hit us with some of the
The first one I'm just taking because I need to take this because this is my fault, and I apologize before it's even comes up. But Girl Plus Dog Adventure says Hilltop should take as long as it takes JK to ship outside comfort zone his chair.
There you go.
That's painful but true. So she wins. let's see. Here's one. One on the JMT, wag bags are required in the Alpine area.
Yeah, Jason, it's stuff. It's,
the Alpine is just one part of it, though. You know, the Alpine area is like the peaks and stuff. Well, you're in the higher elevation areas. And I'm pretty sure I can hold my poo until I get back down to a lower elevation. on there. I mean, I can't fight when I'm saying you got everybody poops outside.
Well, here's another one. Tangent trails. I've had to carry my WAG bags out from Big Bend National Park many times.
Oh, we have our first location.
That for you, bro.
Yeah, well, here's someone who's more on your side, Jason. All things outdoors. If you carry your poop out, you're robbing nature of precious fertilizer. Topsoil won't last forever.
My man. That's right, my boy.
But we're talking
outdoors. He knows. My man. And for tangent trails, I'm sorry about that. I mean, you just carry it on your backpack, the poo?
Following Walker's World has a great idea of what you can do with your poop. He says, just sneak the poop in your buddy's bag. Problem solved.
Oh, don't stick it in mine. Oh. That's rough. Can you imagine?
And here's a great question.
To do somebody.
I think this might be the only time you'd be willing to use a WAG bag, Jason. It says, can you use a Mountain House bag as a WAG bag afterwards?
You can use it before.
Doc is a smart man too. Doc is a smart man.
Well, you can
burn the Mountain House down for sure.
Well, the big question is, when is Jeremiah getting merch? And we have an idea for it. We need some Jeremiah toilet paper merch.
Put my face on every square. You can
genius,
wipe.
Genius, Zach. That is genius.
Okay, let me say for the record. Okay, we won't beat this dead horse into the ground. I will say for the record, on the topsoil situation, we're talking about areas. I think that you have something else in mind besides the areas that we're talking about. What was described to me is areas that doesn't have the either the bacteria or the organisms in the soil to break down the feces, and it could get washed into the watershed. And it may be so desolate that there is no animal that's going to eat it, you know, and reuse that before it enters the watershed.
My reply?
Yep.
Hogwash.
Okay. All right.
Hogwash.
All right. John.
Whatever you want to say, Mr. Scientist Man. No way, no way, no way. No way, no way, no way. Hogwash.
All right, John.
And, but can we all agree, if you have a dog, you should clean up the poop off the trail?
Yes. Well, yeah. Knock it out of the way. Take a stick. Okay. Scoot it out of the way.
Yeah. Yes. I see too much dog poo on the trail, and that's just, come on. You can just knock it over in the woods, knock it off the trail, anything.
Yeah, I'm with
you. We agree all on that one.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, John, I have a poop story from this weekend, if you want it. So
I think we should save it for the end. I think that should be how we end today.
All right. I'll save it for the end.
We always save those for the end, so let's hang on to it, because then we can get off the poop for a little bit, and we'll just come back and revisit later.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Well, I want to actually talk to Jason a little bit about the Red River Gorge here in Kentucky, because I know
that
Jason's heart is here in Kentucky in the Red River Gorge. And so, Jason, I noticed that you went out with Jeremiah this weekend, and you went what you call arch hunting. Can you explain arch hunting to the people that are watching and listening right now?
Well, the ones we hit, I knew we would have a day, and it was going to be like a Saturday.
Well, explain what arch hunting is for people who aren't from around here, don't understand what we're talking about, because people who've been to the gorge might get it, but people who haven't probably have no idea what we're talking about.
If you come to the Red River Gorge, there's a lot of arches, natural arches, and they're very beautiful to see because they're very mountainous, and some of them are remote, and some of them are really easy to get to. And I was like, Jeremiah, let's go see some arches. You know, you see a lot in Utah and stuff, and people really don't think of Kentucky as arches, but the Red River Gorge is plumb full of them. And I was like, you know, Jeremiah knew it would be late coming in Friday, and I had his camp at a little easy spot right beside where Castle Arch would be. And I said, we can stay there that night, and then next morning we'll go up, see the arches, and then we're going to hit two quick ones. It's like Whistling Arch and Angel Windows. These are places in the Red River Gorge you can park, walk a quarter mile, maybe a half mile, see these arches, and then get back to your car, go check out another one. It's kind of like sightseeing. I haven't been on these arches in a while, haven't seen them, and me and Jeremiah had a blast, and a lot of other buddies and everything involved too. But arch hunting, you can get a lot more involved with it in Red River Gorge, and that's for sure. And then some of them could be sketchy, like Castle Arch, definitely a little sketchy situations. I mean, you got to climb up some rocks, and you got to drop off on this side, and you're okay on this side. So, you know, you're like, if I fall, let's jump over here. But it can be very sketchy. And Whistling Arch was more sketchier than I thought it would be. And we went up on top to see the arches. Some spots can be very sketchy, but Whistling Arch, we went up on top of it, and that was something. It was a little sketchy, wasn't it, Jeremiah? A little bit, and yeah. So forth. But the Red River Gorge is, goodness, man, it's just got so many beautiful things, and there's so many arches to see. Just sometimes you just got to take a day and try to hit the bunch.
And the Red River Gorge is actually considered a geological area because of the fact there are so many arches in such a small space. I think per whatever, there's more in the gorge than anywhere in the world, right? Is there some kind of deal with that?
I'm not sure. I know I have a buddy called Chris Coney, and I know he might even be on here right now. And I know he watches you all a lot on there. Right there, Fred River Gorge's view is Chris Coney. But I took him on top of Double Arch. We seen Double Arch, and we went on top of it. And he is like, man, I never, ever would have thought this stuff would be in Kentucky. And I was like, and it always stuck with me. And I was like, you know what? A lot of people probably wouldn't know that. And it's very incredible to see, like, Gray's Arch is just as Star Gap Arch. These are some places it's just monstrous to see and beautiful. I know both of you all have been to Star Gap and everything.
Can I add?
Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Can I add a little bit to what Jason's saying? So just for context, these arches, some are huge that you could drive a semi-truck through, and some are very small. Some, they're very, very hard to get to, but you might have an overlook a half a mile away that you're looking across a valley or something, and you can see the arch on the other side, and that's where you'll get the best view. And others, you can only see in the wintertime because the leaves are off the trees. So there's so much diversity. And the way that they're formed, my understanding is, you know, rock is dense. The looser sediment or sand has been washed out from under them through erosion over, you know, however long that it took. And we decided to check out as many as we could over the weekend. And we did have a failure in there, and it kind of screwed us up because we got caught in the rain. But I'm sure that we'll get to that story. John, you got some go ahead, Jason.
I was just going to say, oh, yeah, I definitely have something to pick with Jeremiah a little bit about the rainstorm on there.
We did get caught up.
We get to it on there.
Well, I'll read a couple comments that – I'll read a couple non-poop-related comments here for you just so you guys can get some of those. But Backpackerish put on here, arch hunting, leaving the pub after closing time looking for cheeseburgers.
That's a different kind.
That's pretty good.
The Golden Arches.
Pennsylvania Camp and Canoe, Pennsylvania represent. Love Jason's channel. He's definitely the YouTuber that camps like we do. Alan K on here just got back from a 3-day trip in the Rawal Wilderness up to the divide and see the live stream. Best entertainment while eating Chick-fil-A. Here's one that surprised me. This is Jacob Poucher. He says, I had the Rangers give me a hard time at Red River Gorge one time for being off trail in the National Geological Area near Gray's Arch.
Well, Jacob, I mean, it's your Jacob.
Jason throwing some shade.
Jacob Boucher. If you're a YouTuber, you know Jacob Boucher. So, Jacob, what'd you do to get the Rangers upset? You might have been a little trolling on them. You might have said something to them. Come on, Jacob.
Well, and if you know Gray's Arch, there's a little fenced off area.
Yeah,
and a lot of people like to climb over that fence and go back into that area. And that's, I mean, I'm not saying that's what happened, but I've seen it happen quite a bit. So,
you know how many times I've seen Rangers in the Red River Gorge? Now, I've been going there over 30 years.
How many times?
Anybody want to guess?
I'm going to say twice.
Twice.
Oh, yes. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Twice.
There's just so much to patrol. There's not enough Rangers to go around out there.
There's only like three.
Yeah,
maybe
for that region.
Two, maybe. Yeah.
For
that whole area.
Okay. So, let me backtrack a little bit to what we were talking about. Unless, John, you got anything else you wanted to share?
Well, I just wanted to know, like, how – okay, so you go hunting for these arches. Well, how do you find out about a lot of these? Because I've seen some of your videos. I've talked to Jeremiah about some of the trips you've been on with him.
Yeah.
And you like, you'll go hiking on this trail and then you'll see this little space that's maybe like 4 inches wide. And you're like, hey, that's our trail. And you just get on it. You're walking through like thorns and briars and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden there's this hill and you've got to go down 200 feet. And then you go through another field. And then you see another little 3-inch trail. And like, I think that's the other one. And then we climb up that. And it seems like you'll do that for like 3 or 4 miles. Then all of a sudden it opens up to this amazing waterfall or this amazing arch. And how do you find out about these places, man?
I'll never tell you. Those are secrets. But yes, it can be very difficult. There's some, you know, Red River Gorge veterans out there, and they know, like, some arches are really, really tough, or waterfalls are really tough to get to and so forth. You really got to keep something on you with GPS and make sure you kind of flag, because I've been lost out there. I've got lost out there many times. You know, I've had people with me, and I was back like 2 hours later, and they was like, did you get lost? I said, I sure did. You know, I had people camping with me. I said, stay here for a minute. I'll be right back. I would go check out something, and I got lost. So it happens. But nowadays, man, you got so much GPS stuff that you can carry. It's unreal. You know, just
– yeah.
I can flag right where I'm at, online or offline. You don't have to have a signal or, you know, internet or anything or a signal, but it's incredible. But as in telling you how I find them, no.
There's books you can buy, and there's Facebook groups that you can kind of search through. But a lot of those places, like we were looking for one in particular, was it Skyview Arch?
Yeah, we kind of hit the trail. And we needed to go down farther, and we thought it was to the right, and I couldn't remember. And we took the right, and I said, I'll go on up and see if we can find it, and I'll holler. And when I hollered at him, I was back on the trail. I went in the woods and climbed up a big old rock by myself, lost my water bottle down, and go find it. And I was in a mess. I was just in a mess.
Well,
and they was all down there okay. I was like, but we ended up getting out of that, you know. Rhododendron, rock slide, and everything.
Doc Watson wants to know, but did you die regarding getting lost?
I did not die, Doc. Thank you. Doc is in the New Hampshire, the Whites area, and he is in some gorgeous country up there. Man, he's got it made in those areas.
So On the arches, a lot of these are off trail. So when Jason's talking about getting lost, like there may be a trail, but it's really like, a makeshift trail. It's unofficial. And like
they look like game trails.
Yeah, they look like game trails.
They look like game trails.
Like I Googled, I had enough service to Google where this arch was because we were kind of running short on time. We didn't know it was going to rain, but we were trying to find this one more arch before we hit our second campsite. And I Googled it, and I went through 3 pages, and one of them was actually Serial Photog, who we're friends with. He has a YouTube channel, but he does a lot of photography, and he wrote a description about the arch that we were looking for, and then the last line of it was like, and I'm keeping the location of this one a secret, and I saw that multiple times on multiple websites. You know, most people that are out searching these and they're finding them, they're kind of the belief that the less people that go there, the better, because it helps preserve it. And, you know, it's something that you really have to earn, so they don't really leave the coordinates.
Don't worry, YouTube. I'll leave it.
Jason be like, my all trails route's in the description below.
I was going to say, I was out in the gorge in July, and I messed my foot up hiking, and I had to hitchhike out. And so I'm hitchhiking out. This guy picks me up, and I start talking to him, and he's an old dude from there in the gorge area. He's actually one of the guys that's named several of the arches, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
And cool. I mentioned you to him, and he goes, is he a YouTuber? I said, yeah. He goes, I hate YouTubers. So guess what I didn't tell him I was?
Hey, you know what? Just last week, I was up at the gorge just by myself seeing Sky Bridge and stuff like this. And I met this guy, and he's like in his 60s. And he's like, "Hey, are you Jason?" I said, "I am." And he's like, "I watch your YouTube channel, but I'm not subscribed." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And he was like, "Quit showing people those places." I was like, I'm sorry, man. And he was like, "I like your channel. You seem like a good guy, but quit showing these places." I was like, "I'm sorry, you know." But me and him had like an hour conversation. He was a rock climber in the area and so forth, and 60-some years old. But, yeah, it's pretty wild. Some people don't like us doing the YouTube on the areas. But you know what? If I can get people out enjoying the outdoors, getting some vitamin D, getting some exercise, enjoying what they do, digging a 6-inch hole to poop, how can I hide that from them and the joy of all of that nature and everything? Enjoy it.
Yeah. So we got a couple questions for you, Jason. Would you like
Absolutely.
To hear them? So that hiking guy says, "Jason, let's find Tillman's Arch."
That's
I
not
don't
a
know
question.
What that is, but you can.
I know what he's talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Then we'll leave that alone for you two. And then the next question is, Jason, what are your top three favorite spots in the Red River Gorge?
There's no way I can name that. It's whatever the feel is to me. And to be honest, anytime I start walking in there, it's like a love, you know? Like
no, you can't get away. That's a cop out. You got to answer it.
Oh.
Favorite spot.
We got to get the answer, man.
What's three highlights that you'd suggest everybody checking out?
I would say the Eagle's Nest Buttress, because there's water up there and you can camp up there. And then you could actually walk all the way to Indian Staircase if you wanted to. And you can hit all kinds of different offshoots. So that would probably be one. A classic that everybody loves, and it's always beautiful every time you go there, Hanson's Point. I mean, how can you not doubt Hanson's Point?
Yep.
And then my last one, The Secret. Jeremiah's been to it. I'm not sure if JK, I'm not sure if I took you there yet or not, but it's a special camp that I have. Call it Jawbone. And that one was number one to me. Absolutely. Because me and some buddies have had that little spot for years and years. And yeah. And Jeremiah went and pooped in the wrong spot. I said, "Bro, the bathroom is not that way. The bathroom is across the creek over that way." I was like, "What are you pooping over in that area for?" And he's like, "I didn't know, man."
He pooped in the guest bedroom, didn't he?
Yes, absolutely. It's where we
can. Jeremiah.
There's a reason why, but we'll end the show with my poop story. I'm sorry, Jason.
And I'll let it go, Jeremiah. I mean, it was raining, 5 a.m, 6 a.m?
Yeah, sometimes sometimes you got to let it fly.
So if anybody's been in a rainstorm, 6 a.m, and you have to poop, what do you do? Jeremiah's probably wishing he had a wag bag.
You stay in your tent and you use a wag bag.
So how enjoyable was it?
Oh, you want to talk about it?
Just keep it flowing. I'll tell you about the water situation here in a second, how you let me down.
Okay. So we ended up camping at Jason's secret spot with all of his buddies who also love YouTubers. They all do YouTube. Am I right, Jason? All your buddies?
Yeah. They never watch. They don't even subscribe to me. They heard Jeremiah doing a clip and they're like, "What's he doing?" we're filming some stuff.
Yeah, Jason's right. When we were at that secret spot, see, I didn't have to poop on Friday. And so I just didn't. And then Saturday, we hiked all day. We hunted down several arches. And I went to sleep. We went to sleep fairly late. And I woke up, and it was like 5:30, 6 a.m., and my stomach was a rumbling. So you got to keep in mind, dude, when we got to this campsite, we got there about 30 minutes too late. As we were walking in, it started raining and the canopy started to protect us. But then the canopy got drenched and it started dripping on us and raining harder and harder. And we rolled in. Go ahead, Jason.
I was just going to butt in and say one little thing. we met two of our friends, Brad and Mitch, and we was like, come hang out with us. You know, I done had Matt, Scott, and Jeremiah and me. We was all out. I said, come with us. You know, we're going to go to this spot. Well, Jeremiah's been to it a few times, and the rain started. I could hear the thunder. I could hear the lightning. I knew we was getting ready to get just drenched. So I took off, you know, and then I left Jeremiah, my buddy Matt. Well, Jeremiah's like, Matt, how do we get there? And Matt's like, I don't know. And Jeremiah's like, I'm not really sure either. I left Brad Hitch there, you know, and here comes the rain. And I was like, man, I'm about to go find these guys, you know, because it's 30 minutes off trail. This is not something you're just walking 2 minutes in off trail. This is like no trail, no path, walls of rhododendrons that you got to go around.
Yeah, creek crossings.
Go back, Jeremiah. Yeah, so I felt bad that I left you, Jeremiah, with the guys who didn't know how to get here, and you sort of kind of forgot, I guess, maybe a little bit.
Well,
Matt didn't know. My buddy Matt's been there 100 times, more than 100. And he told Jeremiah, I was like, I'm not sure where to go. I was like, what?
Well, at one point, I was like, man, I'm pretty sure that we need to cross the creek right here, and this is a spot where we got to go up and around. I was like, what do you think? And he's like, yeah, I'm not sure. And I was like, how are you not sure, man? You helped found this place. So
he's been there over 100 times.
I said, just follow me, man. It's because I knew the right direction, but I did not know the right way. And there is a big difference. When you're off trailing, there's a big difference between knowing the right direction and knowing the right way. Because not going.
You don't know if you're going to walk into a cliff.
Yes.
Or off a cliff.
No. What you're going to walk into is a wall of rhododendrons.
You just can't get through them.
If anybody is listening to this podcast right now, if you got a comment to say, if you've ever hit a wall of rhododendrons, let it be known right now and put it in the comments, because I'd love to know about it. When you see a wall of rhododendrons, you're like, I cannot go this way. Or if a huge tree is falling, you know, when you're like, all right, I got to figure out another route. And it's an obstacle, isn't it, Jeremiah, to get there?
Yes.
I don't make it easy.
No, you don't make it easy. But I'll tell you what, Jason, when we were at a different spot earlier in the day,
yeah.
I was thanking yeah. sweet baby Jesus for rhododendrons, because you're on the side of a cliff and you got something to hold on to. We went straight up and down at one point, straight up and down to one of the arches. And
straight
want,
up and down.
Dude, I wore my shoes. Jason, I showed them to you. I should have taken an old pair, I guess, but I took my new trail runners. And the only problem with my new trail runners is I walked the entire Camino in them. Now, I just bought them a few months ago, but they are basically just, I mean, there's no tread left on them.
Well, 500 miles, right?
Or 500-600 miles. It's off. It's smooth. He has smooth shoes.
Yeah.
On a cliff.
Yeah. meanwhile, I'm walking up 90-degree angle, holding on to these roadies.
No tread.
no tread. And the only thing I could think about was, boy, it's going to suck coming back down this. That was the only thing going through my mind. But anyway.
We did some butt sliding.
Oh, yeah. The butts got really dirty on this trip, having to slide down these hills. But back to my poop. So, remember, to set the scene, we got poured on for how many hours, Jason?
From 6:30 till 8 that next day.
I mean, so it rained.
14 hours.
Yeah, maybe we had an hour gap in there where there was enough time to make a little fire so some people could cook some different meats and stuff that they had brought. But
yeah, chicken and steak.
Yeah, but other than that, it was raining the whole time. And I got to say, dude, we got drenched. And one of Jason's buddies, Sean, he had a tarp set up, and he was so kind. You know, usually I call him Evil Sean, but this time he is Sean my angel. Because
why do you call him Evil Sean?
Well, there's got to be yin and yang, man. And I have an uncle with the same name. I won't out their names or anything, but both of them have the same name, first and last name. And my uncle Sean, he is a Pentecostal preacher. So and I got to tell you, Jason's friend Sean is not a Pentecostal preacher. Okay? We'll leave it at that. All right? And, you know, you got to have balance and harmony in life. And to balance
Amen,
out the good Sean, we have to have the evil Sean. But like I said, in this case, he was Angel Sean because he had his tarp set. He beat us there, okay? And he had his tarp set up. And he had his hammock set up, well before it rained, and then it started pouring, and he was nice enough to take down all of his stuff and let us all, how many people we have, like 8 people huddled under that tarp? It was ridiculous.
Yes. We staked it all out, as put it out, and he took his hammock down and everything. And I mean, we stayed underneath there till 11:30, 12 at night. And we was like, thank you, Sean. Thank you. And everything. Cause we all was hanging around there. My buddy Matt had a little table. We all put, you know, whatever you want on the table, and everybody's kind of sitting around the table like a campfire telling stories and so forth. But we had a good time. It was a real good time.
Yeah. So I left Sean's tarp and went over to my tent, and then I woke up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I was like, oh, I couldn't go back to sleep. And I was like, why can't I go back to sleep? And that's when I felt my belly. Like, it was like, it's Sunday morning at 6 a.m. You haven't pooped since Thursday, and you've eaten trash all weekend. It's time. So what's a man to do? I was warm and dry inside my tent, and I had to get up. I had to put on wet shoes and trek my way. Dude, it's dark out, right? And my phone, I went to plug my phone up the night before, and it started charging. And then I checked, my battery pack was dead. My phone was at 5%. I just left it in the tent. My headlamp, it's a Petzl Bendy. And when you click it off, when you turn it off, it shows one of three lights. It's either green, yellow, or red. And if it's red, that means it's on its last leg. And it was red. So I took...
What battery bank did you take out there, dude?
It was just a cheapie. I threw it in the trash when I got home because it was fully charged before I left. And then I don't know. It didn't even get that cold. So I don't know if the cold sucked it or what. But anyway, I'll tell you this. That headlamp, I put it on and prayed because it was pitch black, man. It was raining. There's no moon. It's raining. It's basically the middle of the night, even though it's 6 a.m., 5:30 in the morning. So I'm like...
Deep in the woods.
Uh-huh, dude. You are deep. There's no bathroom around. So I took my dead headlamp. I turned
it
on.
The whole woods is your bathroom.
That's what I thought, but Jason had other ideas because he said apparently you can't poop over there. So
you go west, not east.
So I went east, okay? And east is the direction you have to travel to get back to the vehicle. So, and this was level 10 emergency, okay? I got to say, there is no, when you're at level 10 emergency, you're not digging a 6-inch hole. You are running. That's the sign language. So
he had a jumper at the door. He's like, it's coming.
So I found me a spot that I was hoping was out of the way off the unofficial trail that doesn't actually exist. And, let her fly, baby. I had, I used my bidet, and it was not a fun experience. I don't know if I was eating spicy stuff or if it's just all the trash that I'd eaten over the weekend or if it was
black beans and summer sausage, bro.
I had, right before I went to sleep.
You had black beans and summer sausage?
I had.
Sausage,
yes. It was
you just set yourself up for failure right there. That's how you lose the game, Jeremiah.
Dude, the summer sausage is a 12-inch, not 12-inch, it's a 12-ounce. They used to be 6-ounce or 16-ounce, but inflation. It was a 12-ounce summer sausage just full of fat and meat. And I cut that sucker up and put it in rice and black beans and boiled that up. Man, it was delicious. Gave half of it to Jason's buddy, Matt. And I chowed down, and maybe that's what kind of pushed the jumpers off the plane, so to speak. But, it was terrible. And then I went back to my
Jeremiah,
tent.
Before you go any further with this, Doc Watson wants to know, is a bidet in the rain redundant?
It wasn't raining.
Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Doc.
It wasn't, it wasn't raining hard enough that I didn't need the bidet. I'll tell you that. It may have been the drip drops from the tree still going on, but I definitely needed the bidet after that experience. And then cleaned up real nice and went back soaking wet to my tent. And then had to, you're like, man, here I am drenched again. and I'm going to have to get up here in about 2 hours whenever the daylight's here. And sure enough, about 2 hours later, I heard people walking around outside my tent. Good morning. Morning. Oh, man, how about that rain? Did you sleep okay? And meanwhile, I was miserable. I was like, oh. Jason said, we can sleep in on Sunday. There wasn't no sleeping in.
Well, you're the last one to get up, bro. I mean, everybody is up and having coffee and right there. So
I was awake.
There's a lot of us. There's a lot of people.
Yeah, you get up early when there's a lot of people, but the first thing that anybody heard was me shooting a clip of like my next thing I was putting in my video, and I was talking about cutting your fingernails and your toenails before you. Don't you think that you should cut your fingernails and toenails before you head out on a backpacking trip?
Yeah,
that's what I thought too.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Finish your thing of why you should do it.
And that, yeah, you don't want long fingernails or toenails.
For the reason that you said.
What did I say?
He said you don't want to have long toenails, so you'll cut your socks. And I said, who in the Rudy Pooh has got toenails so big that they're cutting their socks through? I was like, that's gross.
You know what, though?
Disgusting.
If you wear toe socks, which I have to because of the way my toes are, you can do that. I did that when we were up in, I don't know if you remember, but when we were up at Pictured Rocks, I did that.
I've lost two socks.
Yeah, I one of my toes, the toenail cut right through the sock.
It's not the length of the toenail, it's how sharp it is. It grows out, yeah. And then it's just long enough and just sharp enough that it just keeps slicing and dicing at that sock. And you know what they said? Gross. They heard me say that clip just from the privacy of my tent. Of course, we're all in a little area. Gross. Ooh.
That's for my Kentucky buddies who do not watch YouTube. And they're just listening. What are you talking about over there?
Who's he talking to?
That's awesome.
Clipping his toenails in his tent.
And actually, for me, the toenails aren't really for like cutting the socks as much as black toes.
Oh,
like where
yeah.
you hit yes. your toenails and your toes. Yes. When I did the Sheltoe Trace, I had 3 black toes by the end of that trail.
So
cut those toenails.
What were you going to say, Jason?
I was going to say, everybody's went into camp and it's pouring a rain on there. Well, I went and set up my tarp and went and grabbed my backpack from Sean's tarp and took it over to my tarp. And Jeremiah was kind of staking something out.
Uh-oh.
But by the time I walked back, Jeremiah said, something's slipping on your tarp. My tarp was sagging. And he said, something's wrong with your tarp. And he leaves. My tarp falls to the ground. I said, what did Jeremiah just do to my tarp? So I was standing there, and I mean, it couldn't have been raining no harder than it was. And it was just coming down. And I'm sitting there, and my string on my cord is all wrapped around. My vine locks, the cord had slipped. It just got so wet, and it slipped and popped. So it made everything just slide down and fall. Everything has collapsed. I get drenched. I look around. Jeremiah done left me. He went to Sean's tarp for a good dry. I was like, what just happened? So I was out there for 20 minutes fixing it. I get back over the tarp. He's like, something's wrong with your tarp. I said, I know, bro. Where'd you go? I was like, you just left me. I went to get my backpack. I come back, my tarp had done failed. What happened?
Well, in my defense, that's not actually what happened. Okay? Why are you laughing?
Well, I'm the one that had to fix it when I got back. I don't know what you did.
That's fair. That is fair. But what he said is not what happened. Let me tell it from my perspective. Okay?
Did you leave me?
Hold on.
Now, he went over and loosened up all your cables and then laughed at you and walked away. That's what really happened.
Jason's tarp that he was setting up was probably like, I don't know, what, 40, 50 yards away from where Sean's tarp was set up, something like that?
Absolutely. Yeah, big distance.
Yeah, which, it's even bigger whenever it's raining cats and dogs. So first thing I done was go to Sean's tarp and put my backpack down and put my rain jacket on because Jason had, if you remember correctly, he had run off and left us not knowing where the camp was. So it was pouring the rain, and we were a good 20 minutes.
He knew where it was.
We were 20 minutes behind him because we got lost on the way to the campsite just in the middle of the bush. pouring rain, walking through creeks, up and down mountains, off trail. Thunder and lightning. So when we get there, Jason's hammock, I mean, his tarp is like a quarter of the way set up. You know, he's got the line locks tied around the trees and he's starting to stake it out. So I say, I'm going to be a good friend and help Jason finish setting his tarp up.
Yes.
Now, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, yeah, Sean has a little tarp and Jason's is 13 feet. If we can get this set up, it's going to be huge. We can all hang out under there. Well, I said, let me go help him set it up. So I put my stuff under Sean's tarp, put my rain jacket on because I hadn't put it on yet. I didn't want to sweat walking through all the trees. Put it on, ran back over there, and at this point, it was a torrential downpour. So I helped him finish staking it out. And then Jason just disappeared. He was gone. And I was like, well, I'm over at Jason's tarp standing in the rain helping stake it out, and Jason is gone. He's gone. I'm just getting soaked, drenched. And I was semi-dry before, but I put my rain jacket on to get back out in the rain. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm tightening one part up. A stake comes out on the other side that he had put in haphazardly. So I go restake it, tighten the line lock up, and I'm like, man, his tarp is really sagging. So I go up, and I try to pull the line lock, and it just keeps slipping. And I'm like, well, the only fix that I can do right here is to tie a knot before the line lock so it'll stop slipping. And I was like, I don't.
That is why I was there for 20 minutes.
No.
I didn't know this. This is new news.
No, I said, you didn't let me finish. I said, well, I'm not going to tie a knot because I'm afraid Jason won't be able to untie it. It's wet, and when he goes to untie this, he might not be able to. So
you can always do a slip knot.
Well, dude, it was pouring the rain.
I said, what happened to my string? It was wrapped around everything.
So, no, I did wrap the string around a couple of times.
I was out there for 20 minutes unwrapping string and cordage to where I could flip my line lock and tighten it back up.
Oh, my God, I'm crying.
Jeremiah, this is all, I swear I never did know this. This is all brand new. Sabotage.
I told you I didn't tie the knot. I told you.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. This is fantastic.
So, Jason, he comes back. And in the meantime, I'd been just standing in the rain trying to fix his tarp. So, I'm like, well, it's his tarp. Maybe he can figure maybe he can figure it out. Plus, he's already wet anyway.
So, you got to think, though, when I left to get my backpack, my tarp was good.
No,
I'm just putting one stake in the ground. I come back, and it's like a puzzle. I was like, what is happening here? My string is everywhere. Everything's falling down. Everything's slipping. It's pouring. And I was like, where's Jeremiah? And he's gone. Man. And he's like you said, 50 yards away. So, well, I could say, hey, Jeremiah, help me out. No, he's over there.
Oh, dude.
Dry tarp, getting his chair out, setting up over there, hang out. So 20 minutes later, I go back over there. I'm soaking.
He's soaking
like, hey,
wet.
Man, there's something wrong with your tarp. I said, I know. What happened? He's like, I don't know. He said, I don't know what happened to it. He said it was slipping. And I was just like,
yeah. Oh man.
Good times, man. Yes. Making memories.
Am I glad you're on here, Jason. That's all I can say is I'm just glad you're on here, man. I'm so glad you're on here.
Oh my God.
It's the wildness of when you're going backpacking. Nothing ever goes smooth. There's always stuff that's gonna happen to you when you're out there. We didn't even think there was no chance of rain.
Dude.
You know,
it was like 17%
downpoured on.
Yeah,
there are some questions that have been coming up through here, and I want to make sure we get these to you because we're only a few minutes out from shutting things down. But
bust them out.
First question, does Jason have Miguel's merch, one of those tie-dye shirts?
Oh.
No, I do not. No. I love Miguel's and everything. When I was a kid, it was like a rock climber's hangout. The guy that owned it really wasn't a rock climber. Miguel, the guy wasn't a rock climber. He just let the rock climbers camp there and stuff, and us – back then I was a kid and backpackers, but it was just a little tiny place.
I remember
now
that.
it's opened up for everybody. And Miguel's is awesome. Awesome. I've seen people in Vermont that have Miguel's gears. I've seen people in Linville Gorge with Miguel's gear. I mean, it's world famous, literally world famous.
That's awesome. So the next question, what is your favorite pizza to eat after the Red River Gorge?
I like a light sauce at Miguel's. I go to Miguel's. I like light sauce. I like it well done. I like it with double cheese, pepperoni, hamburger, and banana peppers.
Okay. Have you tried it with kielbasa yet?
No. You I didn't need even to know do it was that. An option.
Yes.
Now,
kielbasa.
I would like to
awesome.
Try a place where they don't do the pizza sauce and use like wing sauce. I think
they do that at Miguel's. That. They do the hot sauce.
Yeah, I was thinking about trying that. If anybody's tried that, let me know.
I have.
Oh,
lit me up, but it was good.
Okay.
Lit me up, but it was good. Definitely good. So, okay, next question. This comes from Mark Goes Hiking. Jason, longest amount of consecutive nights spent in the gorge?
I would say close to 10, 12 days.
What? You That's spent right. 12 days all in a row at the gorge?
Well, that's my buddy had a hostel there, and so we would go and hit Chimney Rock Road, and now we had like chainsaws, boom boxes, coolers, you know, but we would hit different spots in there, and you can literally go up Chimney Rock Road and just hit different spots all the way before you get to Chimney Top and see that stuff. I mean, there's areas all through there, and I have a friend who owned a hostel there. So we would hit different spots, but yeah, I've definitely spent a couple of weeks for sure. But this was when, you know, responsibilities were light in life. You know, now I don't think I could get away for 2 weeks straight. You know, I own a business and everything now. But if you're in your 20s, you can get away.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. So next question, name your three favorite outhouses.
Well, I dig a hole. No, I will say, there was a place, I think JK, was it at Pictured Rocks where they had a toilet like up on the hill?
Yeah, I talked about it last week, yeah.
No walls around it, but it's just a toilet. And I was like, this is all right. You know, I'm sitting out there just looking in the woods, sitting on a toilet, no walls, nothing confined me in. And I was like, that's pretty cool. There was an outhouse, I was on the AT, I was freezing to death. And we just had to walk through this area, and they had like a town area, you know, you hit the gaps and you keep going. And this place had an outhouse and had heat in there. And I went there and I almost wanted to stay. I almost spent the night there. I'm not even going to lie. It was so cold and it was heated. So when I got in that outhouse, I was just like so warm. And I think it was on the Tennessee, North Carolina border. And a heated outhouse. Well, it was like a building. I guess I don't know if you call it an outhouse or not, but it was still in the woods, but it was heated. And that was pretty magical on there. And I don't know the last one. That's a pretty complicated question on there.
That's impressive, though. That's impressive. And then one more question. When you boys coming back to the Northeast again, Green Mountains of Vermont, Adirondacks of New York?
Adirondacks is on my definite to-do list. On there.
I might have an inroads to that next summer. We could talk later, Jason.
Yes, and if I'm going there, I'm definitely getting Justin Sylvester to go with me. This was the first year, I think, in 2 or 3 years I didn't go visit Justin up in New Hampshire. And Justin is so much fun to go backpacking with and being in the woods with. He is a joy. If you know it's good in the woods, you know what I'm talking about. If you've seen his channel, Justin is, and he's a real deal, absolute real deal. I'd never done like snowshoeing, like snowshoes or crampons or, you know, or anything until I met him. He's like, come on, I'll show you a real winter. And I was like, what, like 6 inches of snow? And he's like, oh, no, no, no. I was like, he's like, I'm going to show you feet of snow on there. Actually, Ben McMillan Hilltop Packs was with me on one of those trips and everything. But Adirondacks is definitely something I've got to get to.
Well, Jason, let's drop the bomb of the night. Tell everybody about what's coming up October 6th through the 8th.
Well, I'm pretty sure we're going to have a little get-together in the gorge. If you'd like to meet us or do a little hiking, you know, you're more than welcome. I think it's October 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's maybe that Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yep. Nicole hikes a lot, kind of put it on last year, and we all loved it so much. And Nicole hikes a lot, and her husband, Tim, eats a lot. They check out their YouTube channel if you haven't seen it. And she has a lot of great stuff from all over the place. She sees some incredible stuff. But she is so nice, and she's got a bunch of us getting together. And last year was so much fun.
Yeah, it was.
JK was there. Jeremiah was there. Bridget was there. I mean, we all had – there was a ton of people there. I mean, and it's just pretty much a good get-together. So come out Hanson's Point if you feel like it out there and say howdy.
There's some pretty wild Sign songs being sheet. Sung, too.
Yeah, what was that song? Waiting on a Stringer.
Waiting on a Stringer.
Oh, don't remind me. That was a good tune.
Before I have to get off here, can I say one more thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Say whatever.
The Friday night when we backpacked, I had a friend of mine in Lexington. He's owns an electric company named Mike, and he's, you know, got a big company and everything. So he came there, and that night he is like, "Hey, my two daughters love Jeremiah and my channel." And they got us cookies, and it's Ava and Harper, right, Jeremiah?
Ava and Harper, that's right. They made us some no-bake cookies.
They made us no-bake cookies. So I'm giving a big shout-out to Ava and Harper. And, Mike, if you're listening to the podcast, please let Ava and Harper know how much we love the no-bake cookies on there. They're only like 8 and 6 years old, and that's pretty wild that they like love Jeremiah and I's channel and everything, and that was really sweet for them to make cookies for us. So big shout out to Ava and Harper.
That's awesome. Jason, thanks so much for being on here, man. If you're looking for him, look him up, Backpacking with Jason on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. He's on all the things. And if you want the most authentic backpacking trip videos you're going to find, definitely check out Jason's. And if you comment, I guarantee he's going to reply.
Yes. Much love to you too. Thank you too for having me on the show. I love you both. You're my Kentucky brothers for life. And, you know, can't wait to see you, JK, here shortly. And Jeremiah, you too.
It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun. Man.
Awesome.
Yes. All right, brother. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, dude. I love Jason.
The emperor of Kentucky backpacking.
The emperor. The imperial lord of backpacking here in Kentucky.
Wow. Can you mute him? I can hear him shuffling around grunting. It's what, whenever we were on the trip over the weekend, it's what we called old man noises. We'd hear like something off in the distance. We're like, did you hear that? Was that just an old man noise or is he okay?
I kind of take offense at that because Jason and I are the same age. So, you know, like.
No offense. No offense, of course. Sorry, I should have led with no
offense. I should be offended, personally. I should have led with it. I'll let it go tonight.
No worries, man. What a fun show. Man.
It has been fun.
I haven't laughed that hard in a while.
Well, and the great thing is we get to do it again next Monday. And we got Ben McMillan who's going to be on here from Hilltop Packs. It's going to be a good night.
Yes, we'll see everybody next Monday. I can't wait.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for all the comments. I wish we could have put them all on the screen, but there are 327 comments
Good
tonight.
Lord.
So not able to put all those on, but thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you guys on the next one.
Yeah. Adios, folks.